Oh, you don't know the one who dreams of you at night and longs to kiss your lips and longs to hold you tight. Oh, I'm just a friend, that's all I've ever been, 'cause you don't know me.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, Dad's Point of View. I hope you appreciate some of the music choices for this show on suicide, because I was a little careful in choosing them, and I think Ray Charles' song You Don't Know Me speaks very much to what we're speaking about. And I am back here with Pastor Drew Sams talking about suicide. And on the break, Pastor Drew shared some interesting statistics and things with me to just elaborate on what we talked about further. So I'll turn it over to you, Pastor Drew.
Sure. You know, I've even pulled up my notes even more, and you might be surprised. They can actually measure a site on Earth where more suicides have occurred. You'll never guess it.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's who wants to consider that? But the Golden Gate Bridge. More people have died by suicide there than anywhere else in the world. And as of 2005, they have recorded over 1,200.
Wow.
And
wait, as of 2005.
As of 2005, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And of course, there's many more that they can't count. But they say that one occurs once every 2 weeks on average. But the statistic you were referencing as we came back on, I found this fascinating. We had actually done a workshop here at Calvary Community Church, and one of the true or false questions that was asked while we were going through a section was, do people who attempt suicide, are they fully intent on dying? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, yeah, true. I mean, if you're going to attempt suicide, I would think that at that point you are fully intent on carrying it out.
Yeah, I would have thought that too.
Yeah, and so the answer actually is false. But and I thought, well, how do you measure that? How they measured it is fascinating. I told you it was 16 over the break. It's actually 26 people they have recorded is actually surviving. 2% of
surviving
the Golden Gate Bridge jump.
Uh-huh.
So 2% of those that they've recorded over the years, 26 have survived. They've interviewed all of them. And 25 of the 26 said that the moment they jumped, they knew they made a mistake.
Oh, whoa. That's 90-plus percent.
Yeah. And, boy, that changes maybe a misconception that I have.
And what goes through your mind in those 10 seconds between jumping and hitting the water when, of course, the vast majority of people succeeded, so to speak, in their suicides.
Yeah, so the phrase they give to this is suicidal ambivalence, that people aren't fully intent on dying, but they've reached such a dark place that they're willing to go through with it, and often they're successful before they can even change their mind,
mm-hmm.
which is so sad. We had also talked about some references in Scripture.
Yes, please.
You know, I wanted to clear up something. I think there's a popular misconception. You maybe have heard the phrase that there's a belief that suicide is an unforgivable sin.
Yes.
We never see that in Scripture. In fact, most people wouldn't guess this, but Moses, Elijah, Jonah, King David, and the Apostle Paul, all five of them, I mean, these are big names. All five of them are recording scriptures saying, I would rather die than go on living because of what's going on right now. They were in such a dark place with enemies attacking them.
And their own beliefs. Weren't in some cases their own struggles with their belief and faith?
Exactly, yeah. David, in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? Be better for me to sleep the sleep of death. I mean, this is strong language for people who loved God.
Mm-hmm.
And the point I want to make is you can still love God and yet still be in a very dark place.
So is it not a sin in either Christianity or Judaism to commit suicide?
Well, what I refer to as an unforgivable sin.
Okay.
Of course, there is a lack of trust, I believe, in God, that he can carry you through it, and in many ways you're trying to and the pain that you're going through, and you're taking the solution to that pain into your own hands. And so, you know, we could describe that as a sin in the same way that daily we try to, you know, take the answer to our problems in our own hands. But to say that it's an unforgivable sin, to say that it's beyond God's forgiveness, that it's you know, bigger than God's love, we find that nowhere in Scripture. And so what I want to communicate is that if you are in that dark place, and if you are a person of faith, know that you're in good company, because people like Moses, Elijah, Jonah, David, Paul not only cried out to God in honesty, but we find in each of them that God answered their cry for help and rescued them. And often it was in a place of community, other people coming alongside them and encouraging them.
You know, that brings up something we haven't talked about that I'd really like to address a little bit in our closing few minutes, which is one of my big reactions when someone kills themselves is the selfishness of it, especially when they leave behind father or motherless kids, financially leave behind trouble and issues and debts. You must have faced, obviously, surviving members of families, and I'd like you to maybe talk on that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna say a statement that I don't intend to come across as callous in any way, but because I've experienced the effects of suicide, I can say that from my perspective, suicide is one of the most selfish things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
As I've watched friends and family and coworkers who survive and have to deal with the act that the person has done that they can't undo, the survivor's guilt that comes up among friends and family and coworkers, and them saying and having to live with this new reality. Many of them have said things won't get better. We just have to adjust to a new reality without this person here. And there's a hole that's now there in their life. And I've seen marriages broken because of kids killing themselves. I've seen just some of the deepest levels of human brokenness follow suicides, and it's hard to see.
Well, I totally agree with you. I don't think there's anything callous about it. And frankly, if someone is suicidal and the only thing that gets through to them is you make them feel guilty over what their suicide would cause, so be it. That'd be great. I don't care. If someone is suicidal, you got to find a way to reach them. If one of the ways is to remind them of their obligations to the world, to their family, to their parents, to their kids, etc., then do it.
Yeah, and that might make them mad at you, but as I've heard recently, a mad friend is better than a dead friend.
I'm sorry to laugh, but
I know, because we have a lot of high school students who, out of fear of losing their friendship with a friend, say, "Gosh, I don't want to share with anybody what they shared with me, because I don't want to lose." And I say to them, "You know, it's better to have a friend that's alive and mad at you than one that's dead."
Exactly. We are out of time. Wow. I'm very emotionally affected by our talks. Where can our listeners find you, Pastor Drew?
Well, as always, I've been blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com.
It was a pleasure, as always. We will be working together on the fundraiser Smile for Jesse, of which I'll talk more about it in future weeks.
I'm looking forward to that as well.
Very much. Thank you so much for all the wisdom you gave us in these two segments. It's a pleasure and invaluable.
Pleasure from this end, too. Thanks.
All right, Pastor Drew. We'll be back for some closing remarks, a teaser for next week after these short commercials.
So dark, you got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.